you this morning and hopefully conclude a lesson on Satan's plan of attack that we began last week. Last week about the fact that Satan is real. He is working. He's trying to defeat us each and every day. He would love, of course, nothing more than for us to ignore him or pretend he doesn't exist. He's already won the battle if he can get us to do that. We talked about the armor of God that can defend us against him. We talked about the fact that God is in control and God will not allow Satan to do things, that God has limited what Satan can do. And then, of course, the scripture that was read this morning, 2 Corinthians 2:11, that we are not ignorant of Satan's devices, of Satan's ways of working. What we talked about last week a little bit was the fact that many times we are. We shouldn't be, but we are. Despite the old saying that ignorance is bliss and what you don't know can't hurt you, the truth of the matter is when it comes to the devil, what we don't know about him can be not only physically deadly, but spiritually deadly. So we've got to watch out. And we talked last week about Satan's first plan, the one that he has been very successful with, and that is keeping people out of the church. He's been very successful with that. In the United States, over 99% of the people in the United States are members of the church. So he's been very successful in that. That's not good enough for him. We talked about how he's not satisfied. We talked about the fact that when he got Eve to sin and half the world had sinned and had fallen and was his, he wasn't happy with that. He wanted the other half. And he's been wanting that 100% ever since. Today we're going to talk about what happens and what Satan's plan is for those who will become members of the church. That plan is that he wants to get them out of the church. That's his first plan. He wants to get those who are in the church back out of it. He's really successful in this area as well. Looking over the record that in the 6 years that I've been here, we've had something in the neighborhood of 30 baptisms. Less than half of those 30 are still faithful members of the church today. Satan is winning that battle. He's getting those who have obeyed the gospel, those who have become a part of the church, he's somehow getting them back out into the world and getting them to leave the church. And our goal, of course, to fight against him and to do everything that we can to keep that from happening. We talked last week in regards to him wanting to keep people out of the church about the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8, verses 5 and verse 11 and 12, where the word is sown, the seed is sown, but Satan comes along and takes it away before it has a chance to plant. We want to look now at two of the other groups that are mentioned in the same parable. Verses 6 and 7. Some, this is Luke chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. Verse 6 begins, and some fell upon a rock. This is the seed. Remember, the sower went out and was sowing the seed, which he discovered was the Word of God. And some fell upon a rock. And as soon as it was sprung up, it didn't come up. The seed actually planted the roots and it came up. We go out and we preach the gospel and teach the gospel to these people, and it takes root in their hearts. And it springs up, and many times people will obey the gospel when they hear it. They're so excited. You'll notice what happens. And as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. You'll notice how that happens. I've never been able to keep a houseplant alive, and my wife didn't help us. Trouble with houseplants. We forget to water for weeks at a time. And you know, the amazing thing about a plant is if you don't water it, it dies. The same thing is true of Christians. we are planted. We use that terminology in respect to us as Christians, that we're planted. We're like plants. We're planted. Our baptism exists. If we're planted, then we have to start growing. What is water? Then we're going to wither up and die. And that's what happens to many who convert. And surveys have been done, and it's been discovered that when a person obeys the gospel and becomes a part of the church, they have to have at least 3 or 4 rooms in this congregation in order to really take hold and be faithful to the church. There are, of course, exceptions to that rule. There may be somebody so gung-ho about doing what God wants them to do that they don't care. Everybody in the whole church hates them. They're going to be paying to do what's right anyway. But those are the exceptions, not the rule. So we don't like to be in places where we don't feel accepted, where we don't feel liked, where we don't feel like people are friendly to us. And the same thing's true with the church. So because of that, many people may leave the church because they don't have that relationship with others. The other thing is that we many times don't continue to teach them. We teach them about baptism, about the church, and salvation, and we baptize them. And then we say, okay, well, you're a Christian now. We've got to remember that when Jesus gave the Great Commission, he said, go into all the world making disciples, teaching all nations, baptizing them, and then teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. You can't stop at that second step and expect to be successful. So there's a lot that has to be done. Satan's biggest tool of getting people back out of the church is if they're not watered, if they don't have that feeding that they need. Now, we know with plants, that's how they get their food, is through the water and the soil. They get that water, and they get the sunlight, and everything works. Well, as Christians, we've got to get the Word of God. We've got to get that studying and that learning new things and more things that we didn't know before. If we don't get that, it'd be easy for us to wither away. We've got to not only ourselves take the time to study, but we've got to help others, especially converts, to study and to grow. In verse 7, it says, some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Sometimes we're those thorns. We can cause other Christians so much heartache and so much, and we're just negative about them all the time, to the point where we drive them away from the church. Jesus, of course, explains the parable to his disciples. Not those on the rock, he says, they hear, they receive the word with joy, but they don't have any root. They believe for a while, but then their patience comes and they fall away. He says in verse 14 that those that fell among the thorns, they hear the word and they go out. They start living the Christian life. He says they're choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. They never bring any fruit. We see how this life, this morning about being concerned and watching and the physical aspect of that, of life, going on all around us, and we can't help but notice it. It'd be really unusual, and in fact maybe abnormal for us not to notice what's going on around us and the things that go on in life. For us to think, well, I'm a Christian now, and so I'm a spiritual individual, so I don't have to pay taxes to the United States government anymore because I'm a part of God's kingdom. We can't just ignore the physical world around us. But what happens to us many times is we get so entangled and so wrapped up in the world around us, and it may be good things. A person who skips church, skips coming to assemble with the saints, to go visit people in the hospital, or to fix food for somebody that's sick, those are good things to do. Things that should be taking the place of our sinless guilt. So, we've got to be careful not to get so wrapped up in the world have to be so busy with the activities of this physical life that we allow our spiritual life to suffer. Those are two of faith's goals. Keep people from growing in the faith. Don't get the word from them. Don't let them study and learn more. And eventually they'll die from a lack of worship. And then the other one is to get them so wrapped up in activity. And there's any church, entire congregation who have let this happen. They are so wrapped up in food drives and blood drives. And they're doing all of this, the good things for people to do. The churches are getting so wrapped up in doing those things that they're forgetting the mission of the church. The church isn't here to feed the poor. They're to feed the poor, sure. That's what the church is here for. The church isn't here to donate blood. The church isn't here to, all of these activities that people do. The church is here to carry out Christ's mission to seek and save the lost. Spread the gospel. That's why we're here. Now sometimes we may use some of those other things in order to come in contact with people so that we can teach them the gospel. We may take someone who's in need some food or some clothing, or maybe somebody's been burned out, we may give them some money in order to make a contact there. But we've got to remember that's not the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is to evangelize the world. We need not get so wrapped up in the activities of this life that we forget the main goal that we have. The thing that Satan wants us to do that will help get people out of the church is he wants us to hate and destroy each other. More destruction, more people have been kept out of the church. The fighting that goes on in the church is the other thing. We talked last week about the fact that God wants the people outside the church to keep looking at the hypocrites in the church. He gives them plenty of fuel many times. We give Satan all of the ammunition that he needs by the way we behave ourselves. We're fighting and fussing and arguing and can't get along. We're driving each other out of the church. I don't think we're going to be able to pull anybody else in. Church is dividing and splitting, and there are, in many places, at least two churches in the community, and sometimes, five or six, all because they couldn't get along. Galatians 5, verses 14 and 15. Deals with this problem. Nothing new. We may not be discouraged and think that the problems that we have today, that somehow we're just not as good as the Christians were in the first century. They had the same problems back then. They struggled through them. Even just that generation right there after Jesus had been here, right there where the apostles are still alive and teaching, and yet they were still having the same problems. So we need not get frustrated and want to give up just because we're having problems. That's nothing new. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. This. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 15. If you bite and devour one another, heed that you be not consumed one of another. He wants us to just chew each other up and spit ourselves out. He wants us to just be always backbiting, kicking, destroying each other's faith. When you do that, you're going to drive people out of the church. Many people who used to be members of the church aren't because somebody literally drove them out of the church. We talked this morning in class about the fact that nobody can make you do anything unless you allow. But we've got to understand that for someone it's weak in the faith, so easy to destroy what little bit of faith they have. And easy to push them away when their faith isn't strong. So we have to watch out for the weaker brothers and sisters. For the newcomers. converts and those who have not grown like they should. We've got to help them along. Encourage them. Help strengthen them. This is one of the things Satan wants us to do. Get us to just consume each other. Eat each other up. And of course, he wants us to be divided. In chapter 12 and verse 25, Jesus said, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. The city or house divided against itself cannot stand. That statement, many times we hear it in connection with Abraham Lincoln. He loves the first one to say it. Jesus said it first. A house divided against itself cannot stand. How many churches are there? You have the people that sit on this side of the building and the people that sit on this side of the building. Looks like you've got two churches meeting. I don't mean to indicate that that's what's going on. Obviously, there are two sides, and we want to fill the whole thing up. So it's good to sit on both sides, but some churches, that's how the church is divided. Whether you sit on this side or that side. And you don't ever cross the aisle and talk to the people that are sitting over there. Critical situation for the church to be in. And the church is in that state.
Still tempted, and even the best of Christians still sin at times.
that against us. He uses that sin, particularly secret sin, sins of the heart, sins of thought, sins that are done in private. He uses those sins to make us feel so guilty. from her least on the tag team wrestling matches. You just tag that partner could come in. He was fresh, you know, after you all going up. That's kind of the way a person's gone. Fighting against sin, struggling against Satan for so long. We'll just reach out to Jesus and take his hand. Come in and he can hook them up for them. Reach out to him. You're not a Christian. There's no better time. Not next month, not next year, not sometime later, but now. You need to become a Christian. You can do that. You believe that Jesus is the Christ that the Gospels teach. And he died on the cross. And he rose again. You believe that. If you believe that, if you do not believe that, I'm the Jewish Christ. You believe that he is the Christ. He tells us not.
You need to respond to the invitation. I need to do so as a man.